Well, Jesus has been pretty busy. He's healing all sorts of people, casting out demons, teaching in synagogues, preaching in new towns, and it's just the first chapter of Mark. He's just out of the blocks. Now, there's some interesting things that go on in Mark's gospel. One of them is his own people don't understand who Jesus is. And we would think, well, maybe the disciples would get it, but they don't have a clue. Every single time Jesus heals someone, casts out demons, or performs some miracles, the disciples stand around saying, oh, who is this that even the wind and sea obey him? Who is this who can cast out demons? Now, some scholars think that Mark is playing with our heads a little bit, because what he wants us to do is step into the story and go up to the disciples and say, fellas, connect the dots. Don't you see who this is? This Jesus of Nazareth, he's a big deal. He's not just a big deal. He is the big deal. This is the one, the chosen one sent by God. Don't you see? And as soon as we get to that point, Mark has done his job, because he has led us to confess who Jesus is. He has led us to faith. Now, the other thing that shows up for the first time now, because we're in the first chapter, is Jesus, throughout Mark's gospel, performs miracles and casts out demons and so forth, and then tells people, shh, don't tell anybody. Which might lead us to wonder, honestly, did they not give you a marketing course in Messiah school? Why would you want people to not say a word? In our story today, he heals a man with leprosy. He even sternly told him not to tell anybody. And, of course, this guy couldn't help himself. He couldn't keep his mouth shut. Now, one theory is the term Messiah was a very politically loaded term in Jesus' time. Back then, when people said Messiah, they assumed it meant somebody who was going to lead a military revolt against Rome. Jesus did not want to be defined by that. He didn't want to be defined by what other people assumed he was about. He was not there to lead a revolt against Rome. Jesus was leading a revolt against evil and darkness. Jesus came to bring the kingdom of God, a new time, a new era. Not with armies and revolutions, but with words, with a touch. Bringing God's promise again that says, I am with you always and forever. I am here. Now, of course, we modern folks, when we hear stories about healing and casting out demons, sometimes we're tempted to, well, frankly, to try to wreck it by focusing on the details. And we wonder just how Jesus healed people. Were they really sick? What were those things they called demons? Would we consider them a psychological disorder today and all that kind of stuff? Then it leads us to wonder, so if we can treat those things medically today, does that mean that Jesus would be out of a job? Or that we should just write all this stuff off as a bunch of ancient, ignorant superstition? No. These stories aren't about proof that we can test. This isn't science. It's a love story. It's the story of a God who loves people who make a career out of not loving him back. It's a story of God who is faithful to us even when we are not faithful to him. It is a story of God who comes looking for us when we are lost, sometimes when we intentionally run away, and even at times when we don't know that we're lost. We can't prove that. All we can do is feel it and experience it. If you've been lost and found, you know it's real. Prove that. If you were sure your life was out of your reach and it was gone and your life was given back, prove that. Yet in our all about me world, we are tempted to keep asking, what's in it for me? What do I get? Where is my healing? Well, the answer is, we already have it. We already have everything God has to give us. And that does not mean material things, by the way. God is not in the business of giving us stuff. That is Santa Claus theology. But if we already have everything God has to give, do we notice it? Do we even know what we have? Or do we ask, so what have you done for me lately? God gives us something far better than stuff. Jesus has already set us free. Another pair of shoes, a new car, dare I say, even a new fishing rod, is not going to make you a better person. It is not going to make life more meaningful because ultimately, I put a fishing rod in with this, but it's still true, ultimately those things don't matter. What matters is love. Living in love, sharing love, showing love. And God starts in us, setting us free. We already have everything God has to give us. But if we don't use it, it's going to feel pretty empty. God's promise for us, this love story, is for us. But it is not for us alone. It is meant to be shared. If we don't share it, it's kind of like trying to play Scrabble alone. And you got an excellent word. You got all the tiles and you can use all your letters and score an extra 50 points. Well, that's Words with Friends, sorry. But if you're playing it alone, you never get to play the word. Jesus doesn't call us to play alone. He calls us to get busy. When Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law, she didn't say, yes, I got mine. No. Did she want to be more healed? No, of course not. You couldn't be. Instead, she got up and she began to serve. Her healing mattered for her, but it was not just for her alone. She shared it. The man with leprosy, oh, leprosy was a hideous disease back then. He was absolutely an outcast. Couldn't enter a village. Wherever he went, he had to call out in front of him, unclean. And people would flee. Could not be with his family. Could not get food at the market in the village. Could not even draw water from the village well. If he was lucky, there were people who cared for him who would leave food and water for him outside the village walls at night that he could come and get like a wild coyote. That's what leprosy did to you. And Jesus healed him. Jesus even touched him. And when he was healed, Jesus said, don't tell anybody. Can you imagine? Don't tell anybody that you got your life back. You're not just healed of this disease, but you got your life back. Your family, your community, your village, your job, your home. Don't tell anybody. He couldn't help it. He couldn't keep his mouth shut. He was so relieved. When that happened, did he want to be more healed? No, you can't be more healed. We already have all of God's love. But the part of us that lives in this world that wants us to believe there is more, no matter how much we have, says, well, okay, I got all of God's love. Can I have more, please? Can I have more, please? Well, here's the good news. There can be more. There can be more love. But we are the ones who have to give it. We already have all of God's love. If there's going to be more love in this world, it's not coming from God. It's coming from us. It's been put in our hands. That is how God continues to work in this world. Because see, this is not just a story about something that happened long ago in the ancient past. It is about how we get to put more love into this world. How we get to grow God's love. So how will you get to make God's love grow bigger? Peter's mother-in-law served others. The man who was healed and got his life back told everybody he met. Some of us show, some of us tell, some of us touch. This month, You and others in this congregation brought in over 12,500 boxes of macaroni and cheese for hungry kids who were served by our partners across. 12,500. Keep it a secret. Some of us touch when people feel alone, when they feel like outcasts, when they feel like a pariah, and we dare touch them. Some of us give time in food packs. Some of us work with kids in need. Some of us are intentional about seeking justice. See, no matter how you cut it, we are called to be generous with what we have to bring God's way, the kingdom of God, into the world today. A new time has begun. Jesus' first words were, "The kingdom of God has come today." And there were immediate results. Demons, who knew exactly who he was, were afraid of him. Light shined into the darkness. People were healed. There's still plenty of darkness and evil and fear in this world. The kingdom of God has started, but it is not done. It is not complete. God's love has come into this world already. And we already have what all of God's love. We cannot be more loved, but we can grow God's love. We can add more love to this world to defeat evil, to cast out our modern demons, hate, racism, materialism, greed, intolerance, all those things that haunt us. And God doesn't work alone. Jesus says, come with me. Be partners with me in redeeming this world. If there's going to be more, it's up to us to grow it. So how will the kingdom of God live in you this new time? How will you share this in this world? How will you carry this? Can't wait to see you.